Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, April 10th. Sorry for the late start. This morning had the White Sox playing a marathon game in the snow yesterday here in Chicago. Kind of threw off my schedule a little bit. Thought it was going to be a night game. They changed it to a day game. Had to find some sleep in there and watch the Pistons replay of the Toronto Raptors game last night. But this is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer here in Chicago, covering the NBA, Pistons follower my whole life, also a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. Today, closing the doors on Little Caesars Arena for the season, and now the Stan Van Gundy questions have reached a fever pitch. We'll be recapping the loss to the Toronto Raptors on Monday night, which closed the opening season in downtown Detroit. I'll be also passing along the clips and what Tom Gores, owner of the Pistons, had to say about the future of Stan Van Gundy at halftime when talking to the media on Monday night. And I'm also going to pass along my thoughts on the matter as well. The biggest thought being that thankfully we're going to have a resolution in about a week or so. We won't have the Stan Van Gundy questions dragging on all throughout the summer, and kind of think about this direction of the franchise going forward for 2018 and 2019. We can talk roster and salary cap and second round draft picks and all that exciting stuff. Vegas Summer League, all the things that come along with the summer for a team that is pretty much locked into contracts and doesn't have its first round pick going into next year. But first, we'll start with basketball on the court Monday night. Some of the last basketball that we will see for a while as Pistons fans. The Pistons lose 108-98 to the Toronto Raptors, the best team in the Eastern Conference. A big surge to start the fourth quarter put things away for the visitors as they had the first 13 points in the fourth to take advantage. The Pistons led by 17 at one point in the first half. The Raptors battled back at the end of the second quarter to make it a little bit more competitive, and then boosted even all the way through a proud team that wants to go for 60 wins with their season finale tonight. And is also, they're playing for something too. They wrapped up the East, but they're trying to get the best record in the NBA. Actually, not in the NBA. They won't pass Houston, but they're trying to pass Golden State in case that those teams meet in the finals. Then the Raptors would get home court there. So it's a little bit to play for Dwayne Casey's team. And still, my vote for Coach of the Year is still going to Dwayne Casey. I know that there's the Brad Stevens faithful out there, the acolytes of Brad Stevens that preach everything that he's done. And you got to give credit to Greg Popovich, 21 straight in the playoffs without, you know, his top player throughout the season and other injuries as well. Kind of a depleted roster in San Antonio. Popovich has made it work with those guys. But maybe I'll think about Brad Stevens a little bit more, but my vote would probably at this point go to Dwayne Casey as well. But Pistons, like I said, they're now 38-43 on the season, going to finish with either 38 or 39 wins, depending on the finale on Wednesday in Chicago. By the way, the Vegas over-under coming into the season, 38.5. So Vegas was right on there, and we will see if the Pistons are able to get that over or the under. But at the end of the day, Vegas wins again, so they know what they're doing. There's a reason that those hotels are built up over there, as you all know. But the Pistons end the season at home at a 25-16 clip. Definitely good enough for a pretty good team. But when you go 14 games under 500 on the road, that is definitely not going to cut it. The Pistons were without Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Those guys sat out. I'm assuming that both will not play on Wednesday in Chicago as well, but we will see. Andre Drummond apparently has an Achilles injury, probably something very minor. An Achilles injury seems like the kind of thing that's actually very, very major or very, very minor. So I'm hoping the latter, obviously, is that we haven't heard anything more on that. And it sounds like Blake Griffin's got the bone bruise at the ankle, but positive signs with him going into an offseason with a little bit of health that maybe he can kind of work on his game dedicate himself towards becoming the leader of this franchise going forward. And as we told you might happen, Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka were held out, although Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan did play for the Raptors. And even worse news for the Pistons is Jonas Valanciunas had 25 points. He played. He pretty much had his way with the Pistons' interior, knocked down some shots as well, dunked all over Stanley Johnson and yelled in his face at one point. The Pistons' interior was led by Eric Moreland, and that didn't work out very well as Toronto outscored Detroit 60-38 in the paint. Maybe the Pistons need a little bit more Eric Lesland next season and not Eric Moreland. But Jakob Poeltl, he slipped into that dribble handoff, slipped the dribble handoff at one point and dunked all over Eric Moreland. It's just watching these games this season, watching the Pistons very closely, I've come to the and it's something that, you know, hardcore NBA fans already knew and know, but it's just so much different than you used to watch all the games with the Ben Wallace group, the going to work group, and then for years I've been like a lot of you fans where you catch a game a week and highlights and stuff like that. But watching it closely now, playing defense in the NBA is very hard. It's not just like back in those 2004 days where you could kind of effort your way to being great or just be athletic enough to be great at some point. And obviously the athleticism and the effort's important too. But more and more you need to have sound defensive coaching, sound defensive principles. And too many times we didn't see that from certain guys on the Pistons roster this season. But we did see it from others. And at times, as a team, the defense was good enough, just like that home court record was good enough. And the Pistons defensively were good enough. If the offense was good enough, then this team should have been good. But the offense was a problem. But, you know, we've seen from Detroit teams in the past that defense has been exceptional when the team was good. And obviously, that was not the case for the team this season. And if you're talking about a team that's, you know, it doesn't have the modern NBA, is not going to be moving the ball like the Warriors are. Maybe the defense has to be the bedrock of where this team starts. But obviously, Stan Van Gundy and his front office and coaching staff had, you know, they jumped on Blake Griffin and have a different mindset of what this Pistons team will be going forward. And I think that focus and that you know, team makeup and that you know, culture of team, what they're trying to build, is probably going to be a big part of the conversation with Tom Gores next week when Stan Van Gundy meets with him in Los Angeles. Luke Kennard, 20 points to lead the way for the Pistons on Monday. Reggie Jackson had 16 and 9. He's looked very good. If you were worried about his injury, got to be encouraged with the way he's looked at the end of the season. Although I'm not buying the strong record that the Pistons had down the stretch, I will buy that Reggie Jackson looks pretty good. Not much reason to worry about him this offseason. Ish Smith was efficient. He had 15 points as well. And for all that Anthony Tolliver did at the end of the season to earn some dough for next year, and hats off to him, James Ennis has done kind of the opposite. Obviously, Ennis is much younger, 5 years younger than Anthony Tolliver, and you'd probably prefer to have him if you're looking at those two and you're thinking with your head as far as going forward with the Pistons, Ennis over AT. But AT is certainly a guy that Detroit fans have latched on to. If you listen to the podcast, you know about my affinity for AT, and your heart might pick him. So interesting thoughts and interesting maybe choice that the Pistons might have to make between those guys in the offseason. Pretty much the only notable free agents that the Pistons have. Jameer Nelson, also a free agent, but probably we maybe have seen the last of him in the league, that I would think. But the Pistons will close the regular season tomorrow night in Chicago, taking on the Bulls. I'll be at that one up close and personal, and will report on what I see. I'm covering it for the Associated Press, so I'm most interested in reading the tea leaves on Stan Van Gundy. Does he appear to be thinking that maybe he's a dead man walking or what? I will let you know what I think. But that's pretty much the most important story, even from Monday night, is what was said by owner Tom Gores in his suite at halftime when he was talking to the media at Little Caesars Arena. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. We're going all summer. We're going to have maybe reduced rates if you want to catch on and give us a little tryout on Locked On Pistons as you're looking ahead to your advertising needs looking into next season as well. But Locked On Pistons, we are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44, the diehards of Detroit sports fans. So if you want to reach those men, this is your spot. Plus, they've got reasonable rates that we can talk about. So email me at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Later on, I'm going to share my opinion about how I think the Stan Van Gundy meeting with Tom Gore should go next week. But he did meet with the media, the Pistons owner, on Monday during halftime of the Pistons season finale at home against Little Caesars Arena against the Toronto Raptors. And Tom Gore's, what he said wasn't a vote of confidence for Stan Van Gundy. Some of the things he said, he acknowledged that Reggie Jackson got hurt, but said, guys get hurt and you need to be ready for that. I was glad to hear that. That's true. The Pistons were so ill prepared for that injury with Ish Smith as kind of taking on the point guard duties. We'll still never figure out and never know why Stan Van Gundy didn't go with some more different approaches during that slog of losses about how to fix the point guard situation. Just bringing in Dwight Bikes and throwing him in as a sometimes reserve and trading for Jameer Nelson. Obviously, those things didn't work. But as you look around the league with the injuries the teams have had, New Orleans had a major injury with Boogie Cousins. They're in the playoffs. Obviously, Boston, no one can complain about injuries more than Boston. They lost their second best player 5 minutes into the season, and then their best player for several games here down the stretch as well. They've had a great year. Golden State has had injuries. San Antonio, they're back in the playoffs without Kawhi Leonard again. And the narrative that's kind of taken hold with Stan Van Gundy and also Pistons fans as well, that the season was going great, Reggie goes down, and the season pretty much ended right after that. And I watched all those games alongside all you guys, and I don't buy that as that cut and dry. I don't think that it was all about that. The Pistons were in a bit of a lull even with Reggie for a while towards the end of the year in December. Teams had already started to figure out the Pistons' new offense. I think that Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond were the biggest reasons for the Pistons playing well early, and that was already starting to tail off as Christmas came and Reggie Jackson went down the night after Christmas. Avery Bradley, remember him? He could never get it going for whatever reason. You have to give Stan Van Gundy a lot of blame for that. He got hurt right around the time that Reggie went down too, which changed things for the Pistons. Those were huge reasons for the Pistons' success. Like I said, Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond. And this one factor of Reggie Jackson's health being the difference between the team being good and the team being bad, I just really don't think that that is accurate. I think that you can bear that out with numbers and say when he was healthy, they were playing really good. Well, the reasons that they were playing really good early in the year, and Reggie Jackson was solid. He was having a pretty good year, but I don't think he was the difference between this team being good and this team being bad. Obviously, the drop-off in point guard was a factor, and Ish Smith not being good enough to be a starting point guard was a factor, but you know, obviously you still got to pin some of that stuff on Stan Van Gundy. So that this cut-and-dry, neat narrative that's going on right now, the team was good with Reggie, and they were bad without him, I don't think that that's a simple enough explanation for Stan Van Gundy, and I don't think it's a simple enough explanation on what happened with the season. Obviously, those dates kind of coincided with how the Pistons were playing early on in the year and how they were playing poorly for the rest of the year. But the narrative that Wojo Bobanowski of the Detroit News and Rod Beard on Twitter this morning, Wojo in his column that appeared in today's Detroit News, the one that they're kind of going with, and as a aside, before we get into that, the Detroit News with those two is the authority when it comes to Pistons coverage these days, by the way. And as someone who's kind of followed the team even closer this year, Wojo is the Detroit's best columnist. I think we know that by now. And Rod Beard is the authority on the team. He beat writer-wise, it's been something that's been more obvious the closer I follow the team. The Free Press, they let their columnists walk over the past decade. I like Mitch Albom, but he only makes cameos in sports these days. He's not on the daily coverage anymore. You probably know that. Sean Windsor, as far as a columnist, he's solid. I don't have a problem with him, but he's certainly not like a must-read. Oh, Sean Windsor's writing about the Pistons. Got to read about that. Jeff Seidel is basically a feature writer, which is okay too, but not something that's super compelling in terms of the coverage that you're looking for on the Pistons. Vince Ellis is a beat writer. He does okay, and friend of the pod. We like Vince here, but Rod's kind of the guy. Maybe we'll talk about the coverage more this summer as we look for topics, and we'll talk about the Pistons from a media standpoint, but hats off to the Detroit News. They've got the coverage that you should be looking for on the Detroit Pistons. Over time, that paper has slowly become the better newspaper for sports coverage in this town. I don't think that was the case 10 years ago, and that certainly wasn't the case 15, 20 years ago when I was growing up and reading all this stuff, when the Free Press was in its heyday, obviously with Mitch Albom, Mike Rosenberg, and Drew Sharp providing what he provided as far as the contrarian view, kind of some must-read things at times that the late Drew Sharp brought as well. But anyway, the narrative that Wojo and Rod Beard have been talking about is that Tom Gores will ask Stan Van Gundy to make some front office concessions, and the question is, will Stan Van Gundy accept those when they meet next week? It sounds like it'll be in Los Angeles. And maybe those guys know more than what we know as far as the face value. But Rod was kind of talking on Twitter this morning about reading the tea leaves. And he's also skeptical about Arne Tellem becoming more involved in personnel decisions. Maybe Rod thinks that he's going to stay more on the business side, the big picture side. And we all kind of assume that Arne Tellem might be involved in a new look front office if Stan Van Gundy is kind of relieved of those duties. We'll see. And at the end of the day, it sounds like not only that Rod doesn't think that Arne Tellem's going to step in, it sounds like Rod thinks Stan Van Gundy will stay and maintain both roles in terms of head coach and in charge of the front office going forward. But some of the quotes from the Wojo column of Tom Gores meeting with the media, and those videos are available. You can check out on detnews.com and also freep.com. I think Fox Sports Detroit put it up on YouTube as well, so check it out there. 10-minute sit-down with Tom Gores. He says, I'm not afraid of change. Stan's a very committed guy. He's dedicated. This is not a situation where you make a change because somebody's not dedicated. But if we have to change, Stan's not afraid of change either. We will. But I would never make a change without talking to him. And obviously, Tom Gores went on, one of those things where he was as candid as could possibly be without really revealing anything. I didn't really watch Tom Gores in that interview and say, oh, he's gone, or that certainly Stan Van Gundy's coming back, anything like that. So I will have my thoughts on where I think this should go here in a second. But another podcast you need to be listening to with the new coaches and all that talk in Detroit with Matt Patricia coming on board, the Locked On Lions show with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. You know Diesel. You should be checking that out every day. And we've got podcasts for every NBA team, every NFL team as well. NFL Draft podcast, Locked On NBA Fantasy podcast. And we got one coming for every MLB team as well. Stay tuned for some Tigers talk. We'll have a Locked On Tigers podcast coming sometime, hopefully as soon as possible. We got you covered here on the Locked On Network, your team every day. So what should happen when owner Tom Gores invites Stan Van Gundy to Malibu next week to talk about the future of the Detroit Pistons? Well, pretty simple. I think you should say, Stan, thank you. You've helped this franchise turn around a little bit over these past 4 years, gave some respectability to us, but we need to make some changes. And on that end, I'm going to ask you to relinquish your front office responsibilities and focus on becoming just the head coach of this team and simplify your life a little bit going forward. It's too big of a job, and you need that separation of powers in an organization. There's a reason that for so many years, the organization or power structure of a front office who needs to be thinking about different way. It's too big of a job. I mean, when you talk about the analytics involved, the pro scouting, the college scouting involved in a front office, the salary cap machinations, someone has to be in charge. You know, you have to have vice presidents involved in your organization that think about those things, and then you have to come to a consensus as an organization going forward. You also have to have a front office that looks over your coaching staff in terms of those things too. There's a reason that those organizational structures have been in place for so many years. Ask Chuck Daly about Jack McCloskey back in those times. I mean, that's how it was. I mean, every coach over time, save Red Auerbach back in prehistoric times, but that's the way it's gone. You had desperate teams like the Detroit Pistons give godfather offers to guys like Stan Van Gundy because they had to. The Pistons were in basketball purgatory back then. The Atlanta Hawks were in much the same way when they gave Coach Budenholzer that kind of responsibility. Doc Rivers had the clout that he had back after winning the title with the Boston Celtics, and the Clippers were the Clippers, so they made the godfather offer to him as well. But it's just not, it's proven around the league to not work. And to get Stan Van Gundy, maybe you had to give that kind of offer back then, and certainly, I guess not maybe, you did have to give that offer back then. But now those other teams, Atlanta and Clippers, as I mentioned, have pared back on that. They've taken the front office responsibilities away from Rivers and Budenholzer. Minnesota still does it with Tom Thibodeau. I think that in time that you'll find that that'll be taken from him probably too. I don't see the Minnesota Timberwolves becoming a team that wins a championship with Tom Thibodeau assuming both of those responsibilities for this team going forward. So I just don't think that's going to happen. And everyone talks about San Antonio with Greg Popovich. I think R.C. Buford doesn't maybe get enough credit for what he does with that front office. And yeah, sure, I think even in a modern front office, even there has to be some input from the coaching staff. And obviously there's a sliding scale in organizations as far as how much, you know, that coaching staff figures into front office decisions is probably very big in San Antonio, and that's what Greg Popovich has deserved. But you got to give him credit for bringing in the culture that he has with that group over the years as well. Stan Van Gundy, his stock has fallen as an NBA mind, especially in his time in Detroit. He had a quick turnaround in year two, taking the Pistons to the playoffs like he did. And as a coach, I think he's taken a step back as well in these last couple years, as you've seen disappointing seasons from the Pistons, and you can't throw that all on injuries. the new front office, when they come in my hypothetical world where they relinquish Stan of those responsibilities, I think that they should explore the trade market for Andre Drummond. They should explore the trade market for Reggie and Blake as well. You should always be open to listening, although I don't think there's going to be a reasonable fetch that you can get for Reggie Jackson and Blake Griffin, and I think you're stuck, for better or worse, with those guys for next year. But maybe Andre Drummond could fetch something, especially given his rebounding prowess and ability that he showed this year. Obviously, he's a guy who's improved this year and should be adding some things to his game going forward, but there is a little bit of a ceiling there in terms of him becoming an upper echelon NBA player. And if there's a team that will bite with a good enough package of maybe picks and young players, then you should go for it, and maybe some more cap-friendly assets that the Pistons could acquire. The unlikelihood of that happening aside, I think that it's a tall task of making this team work going forward. You got Blake, you got Andre, you got Reggie. It's a roster that goes against the grain of what modern NBA teams have right now. Well, let's see the coach that had enough clout to earn that five-year deal 4 years ago, and let's see him clean up the Pistons and show why we brought him in here to run this organization and show his coaching chops again, like he did all those years in Orlando, in Miami, when he became the NBA mind that he has earned over the years. All those guys, like I said, Rivers, Coach Budenholzer, they've accepted similar demotions from the organization. Stan Van Gundy all season, he's talked about wanting to stay, wanting to see this thing through, that the Detroit Pistons is his last job, all that stuff. Well, go ahead and prove it. Just be the coach. I mean, being a head coach in the NBA for one of the 30 franchises, especially a proud franchise like the Detroit Pistons, that used to be a pretty good gig in this world. And that's the amount of money that he makes to coach this team, it should be a pretty good one for him as well. We mentioned the narrative a little bit earlier about Reggie being hurt, and that's the reason why the Pistons were bad during their 37-game stretch this year and they were good otherwise. Well, who else is talking about that narrative? Stan Van Gundy, and the quote from Wojo's article today, Stan's quoted as saying, "The story of this year, people can paint it any way they want, is we struggled without Reggie Jackson, period. That's it." Van Gundy said, "Our record is what it is, and you have to accept that judgment that goes with it. The only thing I've said is, looking forward, I have great confidence that this can be a good basketball team. Obviously, we have great size and strength. When you've got Andre and Blake up front, you're going to be able to battle anybody's front line. Reasonably healthy, it's got a chance to be a really good team." Well, that goes counter to what Tom Gores had mentioned earlier during the halftime speech about, you can't say that an injury was the reason for the team going down. I think and I agree with him. I think that's a cop-out. I think that's someone trying to talk about how they should keep their job going forward. Everything was great, and then Reggie went down, and that's why we were bad. I don't like hearing that from the guy who's in charge of personnel and everything from this team. Reggie's a good player, and he has the capability of being a very good player, but he's not that good. That's the kind of excuse. Reggie Jackson's injury is only reserved for franchise cornerstones, and he's a third piece, but he shouldn't be irreplaceable on this team or any team. And by the way, if you bring Stan Van Gundy back and Reggie goes down again, or Blake goes down for most of next year and they miss the playoffs, I'm sorry, you cannot use the injury excuse again, especially when you've signed contracts with guys who have, kind of showed themselves to be injury prone over the years. Stan Van Gundy has to reestablish himself in the upper echelon of coaches in this league. And I think that the Pistons, given the fact that there aren't a lot of great options out there, you give him the chance to do that for one season, finish out his contract going forward. And if it doesn't work out next year, then you have Reggie and Andre looking at the final years of their deal in the following seasons, and then you start either thinking about a rebuild, or if you think there are enough positive signs, or maybe there's no way you can get out of Blake's deal with a trade, maybe you give another coach 1 year with that group to try to make it work after that. So that's my thoughts. It's pretty simple. Don't fire him as coach now. There aren't a lot of great proven options out there. I know Fizdale's the number one name on everyone's mind. I mean, talk about a guy who just got fired at the right time before his stock got drugged through the mud too much. And that, what has this guy accomplished that he's talked about? Like, he's the next great coach in the NBA. And I'm not saying he won't be very good coach, or that he didn't do some good things in Memphis, but he's talked about like he's Red Auerbach or something. It's kind of unbelievable. And then, like you said, you get so many bad teams out there. You got coaches. It'll be like a Black Monday situation from NFL days, where so many coaches will get fired. Some of these interim guys will be gone. There's going to be a lot of teams looking for coaches this offseason. We'll talk about that, especially if Stan Van Gundy lets let go. We'll have an exciting off-season of coach talk coming up maybe here on Locked On Pistons. But again, I'm uncomfortable with a first-time coach coming in with Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and the emotional Reggie Jackson and this group all the forward. And it, like I said, if Tom Gores, I will certainly buy the justification from ownership if they think Stan Van Gundy firing him and cutting all ties with him going forward. If that's the move, I would certainly understand that one as well. I just don't think he will. I think that Tom Gores is going to ride it out with Stan Van Gundy a little bit longer and look for some help in the front office. And that's what I think he should do, especially with the given the disappointment of this season and last season as well. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Give us a follow on Locked On Pistons, the Twitter account, and also the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons Matt Schoch as well. We're going to be looking ahead to the Chicago Bulls game tomorrow that will wrap up the season here on Locked On Pistons. And again, we got the Spencer Dinwiddie in review coming up next week as well. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you all soon.